in the old world, traditionally, the rabbi of a congregation would give a sermon only twice a year. Wouldn't that be easier? Once would come on the Shabbat right before Pesach in order to tell everybody all of the rules and strictures and things that they needed to know for Passover. And once would come this Shabbat, Shabbat Shuva, the Sabbath between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And what would be the message then? Repent, repent, repent. Now, as much as I like a good fire and brimstone kind of sermon, that's not usually my style. So instead, for Shabbat Shuva, I like to share a story. And I'll tell it to you once again, because it's the story that I always come back to each time, each year at this time. And I'll let you find within it the High Holy Day moral that's embedded there. The story is called If Not Higher by Y.L. Peretz, who was one of the great classic Yiddish writers of the 1800s, early 1900s, living in Poland. This is his story, Y.L. Peretz, If Not Higher. During the month before Rosh Hashanah, there is a custom for Jews to get up early to say slichot, prayers asking for forgiveness from God. And every Friday morning during these prayers, the rabbi of Nemirov would disappear. He would simply vanish. He was nowhere to be seen, not in the synagogue, not the house of study. He was certainly not at home. His door stood wide open. Whoever wished could go in or out. No one would steal from the rabbi, but there was not a living creature inside. Where could the rabbi be? Where should he be? He must surely be up in heaven. A rabbi has plenty of business just before the High Holy Days. Jews, God bless them, need a living, peace, health, and good matches for marriage. They try their best to be good, but it isn't easy, and so our sins are many. Who can help us if not the rabbi? That's what people thought. Well, one day, a Litvak heard the people talking about the rabbi being up in heaven, and he laughed. You know the Litvaks. They think little of spiritual things, but stuff themselves with the laws of Talmud. So this Litvak points to a passage in the law where it says that not even Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, did not ascend to heaven in his lifetime, but he remained suspended 2.5 feet below. Go argue with a Litvak. So where can the rabbi be if not in heaven? It's not my business, said the Litvak, shrugging. Yet all the while, what can a Litvak do? He is scheming to find out. That same night, right after the evening prayers, the Litvak sneaks into the rabbi's bedroom, slides under the rabbi's bed, and waits. He'll watch all night and discover where the rabbi vanishes during the slichot, prayers of forgiveness. Someone else might have gotten drowsy and fallen asleep, but a Litvak is never at a loss. He recites an entire book of Talmud by heart just to keep awake. At dawn, he hears the call to prayers. The rabbi has already been awake for a long time. The Litvak has heard him groaning for a whole hour. Whoever has heard the rabbi of Nemirov groan knows how much suffering, how much sorrow for Israel lies in each groan. Your heart could break just hearing it, but a Litvak is made of iron. He listens and remains where he is. The rabbi, long life to him, lies on the bed and the Litvak under the bed. Then the Litvak hears the beds in the house begin to creak. He hears people jumping out of their beds, mumbling a few Jewish words, pouring water on their hands, banging doors. Everyone has left. It is quiet and dark again. Afterwards, the Litvak admitted that when he found himself alone with the rabbi, a great fear took hold of him. Goose pimples spread across his skin to be alone with the rabbi at the time of slichot prayers. But a Litvak is stubborn, so he quivered like a fish in water, but remained where he was. Finally, the rabbi gets up. First, he says his morning blessings. Then he goes to the closet and takes out a bundle of peasant clothes, linen trousers, high boots, a coat, a big felt hat, and a long, wide leather belt studded with brass nails. The rabbi gets dressed,
From his coat pocket dangles the end of a heavy peasant rope. The rabbi goes out and the litvak follows him. On the way, the rabbi stops in the kitchen, bends down, takes an axe from under the bed, puts it in his belt, and leaves the house. The litvak trembles but continues to follow. You can feel the approach of the holy days. There's a hushed awe hanging over all of the dark streets. Every once in a while, a cry can be heard from a prayer minion where the slichot prayers are being said, or from a sickbed. The rabbi stays to the sides of the streets, keeping to the shade of the houses. He glides from house to house, and the litvak after him. The litvak hears the sounds of his own heartbeat mingling with the sounds of the rabbi's heavy steps, but he keeps on going and follows the rabbi to the edge of the town. A small wood stands behind the town. The rabbi enters the wood. He takes 30 or 40 steps and stops by a small tree. The litvak, overcome with amazement, watches the rabbi take the axe out of his belt and strike at the tree. He hears the tree creak and fall. The rabbi chops the tree into logs and the logs into sticks. Then he makes a bundle of the wood and ties it with the rope in his pocket. He puts the bundle of wood on his back, shoves the axe back into his belt, and returns to the town. He stops at a back street beside a small broken down shack and knocks at the window. "Who is there?" asks a frightened voice. The litvak recognizes it's the voice of a sick Jewish woman. "I," answers the rabbi in the accent of a peasant. "Who is I?" Again, the rabbi answers in Russian, "Vasil." "Who is Vasil, and what do you want?" "I have wood to sell, very cheap." And not waiting for the woman's reply, he goes into the house. The litvak sneaks in after him. In the gray light of early morning, he sees a poor room with broken, miserable furniture. A sick woman wrapped in rags lies on the bed. She complains bitterly, "Buy? How can I buy? Where will a poor woman get money?" "I'll lend it to you," answers the rabbi, disguised as Vasil the peasant. "It's only 6 cents." "How will I ever pay you back?" asks the poor woman, groaning. "Foolish one," says the rabbi. "See, you are a poor sick Jew, and I am ready to trust you with a little wood. I'm sure you'll pay. While you have such a great and mighty God, and you don't trust God for 6 cents? "Who will kindle the fire?" asked the widow. "Have I the strength to get up? My son is off at work." "I'll kindle the fire," says the rabbi. As the rabbi puts the wood into the oven, he recited in a groan the first part of the slichot prayers, asking for God's forgiveness. As he kindled the fire and the wood burned brightly, he recited a bit more joyously the second part of the slichot prayers. When the fire was set, he recited the third part, and then he shut the stove. The litvak who saw all of this was so moved, he became a follower of the Rebbe. And from that day forth, when any of the people would tell how the rabbi of Nemirov goes up to heaven at the time of the penitential prayers, the litvak wouldn't laugh. He would only add quietly, "If not higher." May this Shabbat Shuva, the Sabbath of turning and returning, help us turn to our better selves as we seek slicha and forgiveness and teshuva returning as we make our way towards Yom Kippur. Shabbat Shalom.